This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, back on the 2nd of May 1996, the grounds of the former Hill End and Selbarns hospitals started a journey to become Highfield Park. Situated on the east side of St Albans, the park now features 82 acres of green space full of ancient and new woodlands, two heritage orchards, ponds, gardens and spaces to play all sorts of games. The Highfield Park Trust is 30 years old, and to discuss the highs and lows of the past 30 years and some tantalising plans for the future, I spoke to current chair of the Board of Trustees, Tim Abbott. I started by asking Tim about what it's like running a public park. Unlike other local parks, it's not run by the council. I wondered what difference it made to have a park that is instead run by a board of trustees and funded in part by the investment of a lump sum that originally came from the NHS when the old hospitals were shut.
You're absolutely right. Highfield Park Trust is a charity. We are entirely self-governing. We have to generate all the funds we need, which is quite a substantial sum of money now, ourselves. If you think about a local authority park, they've been running parks for a long, long time. They have critical mass. They have all the infrastructure in place. They know what they're doing. So over the last 30 years, we have literally built the park and the trust up from nothing. And that's quite an achievement. And there's so many things that people are not aware of that we do in the background. I remember we had a conversation probably at board probably about 6 years ago, and there was an event taking place in a park in St Albans somewhere. And the comment was, why aren't we doing that? And the answer at that point in time was because we were not ready. Didn't have the infrastructure in place. We didn't have the procedure. We didn't have the know-how. And all these things take time to build. So, you know, if you was coming to the park office, you would find a suite of procedures now, policies, processes, a whole raft of infrastructure that is actually needed to deliver the park, which is what we're all very, very passionate about. So there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that people have absolutely no view of. I should say also, you know, we have to generate our own funding. That is challenging. So we provide this lovely local space at no expense to the taxpayer. So it's completely free for our users to come and use. We're very proud of that. But again, you know, there's no magic solution. There's a lot of hard work going on in the background to make that the case. And yes, you're right. We do have the original endowment. So 30 years ago, when the park was being set up, we were given $2 million in endowment. We've still got that $2 million endowment. We've spent a large chunk of it, but the investment returns over that time have been good, and we've managed the money carefully. We have properties in the park that we sublet, and that brings in a vital source of income to us. And then there's all the other ancillary bits and pieces. You know, we run a program of events. People are very kind and they donate to us. We have a tree sponsorship program. Grant funding is very important to us as well. So there's a whole raft of different income streams that we have and that we manage, and we have to keep on top of all of that.
It does sound like a lot of hard work, and a lot of hard work done by a board of trustees. Of course, you're volunteers, so it means there's a lot of volunteer hours and also on the ground as well. Whilst you do have staff, you make use of a lot of volunteers to help look after the park, which is amazing. So whilst promoting leisure and enhancing the community are part of your objectives, and also there's things about preserving historic features and things like that, you also have, as part of the aims of the park, to preserve, protect and enhance features which benefit the landscape, environment, flora and fauna, and encourages wildlife. Excuse me, I was just reading there from your objects. I wondered if you could give us a couple of examples of how you do this.
So let's look over the last 30 years, because we are celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. First of all, we created the park, and a gentleman by the name of John Ely created us. The footprint originates from the hospital buildings, of course, but John planted several thousand trees. I don't know how many thousand in total, but he certainly did a very, very good job in establishing the footprint of the park. In 2012, 2013, we created Hitherwood. So Hitherwood is a new natural wood. We worked with the Woodland Trust and we planted 7,500 native trees. So that was a lovely achievement. And if you know the park and you know Hitherwood, you know that it's doing very, very nicely. Thank you. We spend a lot of time on tree management. There's always this tension between the needs of people and the needs of nature. And in a public open space, that sometimes presents challenges to us. And I'd like to think that we get the balance about right, but we have to manage our tree stock and we have to make sure that our trees are safe. So that's a challenge that we always have. We're looking to do more with wildflowers. 10 years or so ago, we started our first very small wildflower area. We have plans to do more. The challenges, as you said, is that everybody's busy and we have so much opportunity and we know what we want to do. It's sometimes turning those thoughts into reality. But certainly on the old Selborne side of the park, we would want to put more wildflowers in. And we're actively looking to do that over the next few years. The pond, as I just quickly mentioned there, was something we spoke about a few years ago. Unfortunately, we were unsuccessful in our funding applications to the Heritage Fund. We're going to go again at some stage. We're determined the pond is such an important part of the park. It's not in good shape. It's devoid of aquatic life. And sometimes now it's devoid of water as well. So we know we've got work to do with the pond, and that's very important. We also have another pond over in the allotments, which was originally established with the help of the Rotary Club. Again, it's something that we have tried in the past to restore, to get right, because it's now 20, 30 odd years old. We've never actually got that right. And again, it comes back to us as a relatively small charity. It's about the know-how. How do we make the right decisions, recognising that we're a fairly small team and often we're doing things for the first time and we're learning as we go. And we go out to other organisations every year and we ask them how they operate, because we can learn so much from other organisations who do things better than we do. And that's great. And then we bring the lessons back to Highfield.
I just wondered if you could mention some of the species that you are particularly proud of having living in the park.
We've got five species of bat. Again, when we spoke about the pond, that's a real hotspot for the bats. I think from memory, we have got 18 species of butterfly that have been recorded within the park. They're beautiful. We're wanting to do more with butterflies. And you and I both now know Malcolm. We've asked Malcolm to walk around the park a couple of times with us and get his feedback.
That's Malcolm Hull from the Hertfordshire Butterfly Conservation. Very knowledgeable on butterflies, you're right.
He is indeed. So we do a series of educational events throughout the summer months. We're looking to introduce butterfly safaris in the not too distant future. So a few of us are going on a training course. We do our bat safaris, which are very, very popular. I don't know what it is with bats, but bats seem to trigger people's imagination and people love bats. And
I think you're right, Tim. I think we just don't know about bats, do we? We're normally not aware of them. So to have somebody knowledgeable in a lovely place like Highfield Park telling us about them is tremendous.
I'll give a huge shout out as well to Rothamsted Research. They come out every year to do our mini bee safaris. So, you know, the entomology team, they're world experts. And every year they come out on a Sunday morning and, you know, we have 20 children come out. And really, it's a fantastic opportunity for the kids to interact with these real world experts who have such a passion for what they do. And so mini bee safari is coming up in June. So there's all these things that we've got going to try and help people understand nature. Yeah, and wouldn't it be good if we could increase the biodiversity in the park still further?
I just wondered if we could talk about the fruit trees. I mean, not many parks boast a heritage orchard. And I just wondered if you could touch on the benefits, but also the challenges that having care of this heritage orchard gives you.
It's something we're very proud of. We have two orchards and they are such a great resource for our insect life. We're looking at the new legislation and biodiversity net gains and what that would mean to us. And that's a whole topic in its own right. But we had some ecologists come out to the park last year and they walked around sell Barnes Orchard in particular, and said, well, there's not a lot you can do there because you're doing it all. It's all good stuff. And that's where we hold the mini bee safari. We get the children into that orchard. So yeah, it is a responsibility. I'm very conscious that Hickspery Lane Orchard, the trees are now very, very old. And what we need to be thinking about is what happens next. We're very conscious that these are traditional Hertfordshire orchards. The one in Sale Barnes, I think, goes back to 1829. It's got this Arcure in it, which is a very, very rare occurrence of this Arcure hedge. Yeah, and we've got to look after it. And there's a lot of things about resilience. We will be recruiting another member of staff in the summer. And we want the person to coming into that role to basically, you know, manage our tree management process. So they will pick up the orchards as well, but also be an interface into the local nature recovery strategy, because we want to do more to support that process that Hertfordshire County Council have kicked off. Again, we need the capacity to do it.
So you've mentioned some things about Highfield Park that we might not have known about. As you say, you've got Hitchwood, which is a lovely secluded, I mean, it's not really an area of trees. It really is a wood now, isn't it?
Which it's maturing very nicely.
Yes, which people might not know about. And you've mentioned that you've got lots of events to do with wildlife, things like your mini beast trails, bat walks, that sort of thing. Any other couple of things that you think that we might not know about Highfield Park that you'd love us to come and see or do?
Maybe I could take that and repackage it slightly. I wrote an article for the St Albans Times in January. I talked about what the future might look like for the trust over the next 30 years. And I got two responses that really excited people. The first one was the concept of a lake of some description. And we're talking about enlargement of the park to try and buffer St Albans from some of the expected development to our south. And this is one of the things that I'm working on currently, and I want to understand a little bit more about the minerals plan and all that kind of good stuff. It's taking me time to do that and research all that currently. But one of the concepts was potentially a new lake that would have two benefits. Right? It's the recreational benefit for people, and it's also that other tension that I was talking about earlier. It's also to improve biodiversity. So that really captured people's imagination. And the second one was this concept of a wild belt around St Albans. Again, as part of these plans, we're kind of thinking, okay, what can we do to actually create a rewilding area? And that's really quite exciting. It's something that we feel quite passionate that we need to do it. So that's the kind of vision of where we're going to. And then, as I said before, there's all these other little gems that we are trying to work on. So not only is there new Hitherwood, but there's old Hitherwood, which is a lovely bit of woodland to walk through. On the other side of the road, you get into Winchfield Wood. And Winchfield Wood is a beautiful bluebell wood. And I think it's one of St Albans' best kept secrets in many ways.
So, Tim, you're coming very shortly to your 30-year anniversary. And as part of that, you're holding some events. Now, you've talked about you've got lots of lovely nature walks and that sort of thing, but specifically on the 2nd of May, you've got some sunrise walks. Can you just tell us briefly about those, and can anybody come to that?
Yeah, we are fundraising because we have a Mediterranean garden in the park that is now 25 years old and is showing signs of age. And so we're trying to fundraise to restore that. But I think tickets are £6 for the sunrise walk. There's two options. There is the sunrise walk itself at 5:30, and there's a later one at 8 o'clock in the morning. We will provide a small breakfast. Fantastic. That's good. And we've not done that before, and we're quite excited about that. Another event, which is new for this year, on July the 18th, we have our Bubbles and Boule. So Boule is petanque, and petanque is having a little bit of a renaissance. Yeah, we're basically going to be playing some petanque with a glass or two of Prosecco. So that'll be quite nice. A lot of our events now are nature focused, and we've invited the London Coney Hedgehog Rescue Centre. They're going to give a talk on May the 6th at the Visitor Centre, and they're going to be talking about their work, and we're going to be sharing the proceeds with them. We normally do forest schools, so we're very keen. We hear so many stories of children that never get out into woodland. So we're very, very keen to pursue our forest school initiative, and that's coming up. So we'll be doing forest schools in the next school holiday, I think, or end of May. And then we've got some more over the summer holiday. So I should say all the details are on the website. So if I've got anything wrong, excuse me, but all the details are on the website.
Well, looking forward to those. And just very briefly, you're obviously working very hard at the at Highfield Park, but there's probably more that you could do if we help a little bit. Can you just give us a couple of ways, just briefly, that we can help you to make the park even better?
Yes, I guess that's quite straightforward. You could sponsor a tree. We have an online tree sponsorship program. The website has a donation page. Hit the button at the top of the masthead and you'll be able to make a small donation, and everything is really gratefully received. Come to an event. We've got a lovely schedule of events. Otherwise, if that's not your thing and you want to volunteer your time a little bit, we have Highfield Helpers on a Tuesday, which is a great way. We've got a really, really good bunch of people there. There's a lot of banter. There's a lot of cake eating as well. But they have a good time. Any of those, and we would be really, really grateful.
Fantastic. Tim, thank you very much indeed for telling us about that today.
Okay, thank you very much, Amanda.
I was talking there to the chair of the board of the trustees of the Highfield Park Trust, Tim Abbott. And I'll pop a link to the Highfield Park website into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcasts page of mix926.com so that you too can check out all those great events that Tim was talking about. And even if you don't go to an event, I really would recommend a visit to Highfield Park. It's got lovely spaces for picnics, there's open space or you can go under the trees. It's got a play area, it's got lots of space for kicking a ball around. And it's also got wonderfully quiet woods where you really can feel that you're miles away from it all. And if you need a beautiful modern room at a very reasonable rate for a meeting or for an event, then their visitor centre is available for hire, and it has the double bonus of being, as well as a lovely space for you, it's also a great way of supporting the park financially. So I wondered what you thought about the idea of things like a new lake for St Albans, perhaps somewhere where you could go open water swimming. And how about the serious rewilding that Tim mentioned? Do let me know via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.